What a great God we have. Let's just pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you today for all that you've done. And Lord, not only your grace in the past, your grace in the present, Lord, that you're a comfort to those who grieve. You give strength to the weary. You guide us, Lord, in moments of uncertainty. But Lord, the grace to come in the future when we see you face to face, what a day that will be. Lord, thank you for those who at the recent Cuyahoga County Fair indicated trust in you. Lord, may their roots go deep. May they know how loved they are by you and the joy of walking Jesus with you right at the center of our lives. I pray that that would be the case for students who are on their way to school these days ahead. Lord, especially for those maybe beginning in a new school or launching out into college, Lord, I pray that you would keep them close to you, Jesus, protect them in every way, and may their light shine brightly for you, Lord. Give them great friendships that will spur them on to know you more. Lord, for those who are teachers and administrators, other staff, Lord, we ask that those who are your representatives would see themselves in a strategically placed position to shine your light, to demonstrate value to people who often are coming in and desperately need that. And Lord, for a world that we see just so confusing and broken, Lord, we thank you that you are God over all, and one day, Lord, the story of history will be complete when you come and you restore all things. Lord, until then, give wisdom to leaders in the Middle East. We pray for the people in South Sudan who, hundreds of thousands at risk for starvation. Lord, others, you see each person. You know them by name. Lord, may those who know you, who are within proximity, and Lord, even for us, what do you want to do through our lives? God, we pray that each one today would in some way sense that there's a God who sees them and loves them. Lord, we trust in you today. We thank you for your word, which is a guide for our path. It's living. Lord, you want to shape us, and so we just invite you. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Have your way in us. And make us more the kind of followers you want us to be. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, we're beginning a new series today called Faith and Finance, and we want to see what does the Bible say about money. Now, anytime a preacher talks about money, you know what happens? I mean, people start to get nervous, they start to twitch, you know. I just want to put you at ease here, okay? There's no need for you to be nervous because this is not about what someone wants from you. It's about what God wants for you, okay? He wants your needs to be met. He wants you to enjoy what he provides. He wants to help you manage your resources wisely, to be free of financial stress, and he wants you to be rewarded one day. That's God's heart for you. Simply put, he wants us to have a healthy relationship with money. So it's no surprise that Jesus talked about money frequently. I mean, you read his parables and you go, wow, this is a topic that came up a lot because money is sort of a dashboard indicator. Here's what I mean. The way that you and I manage our finances is an indicator of our heart health. That's what the Bible teaches. And so investing my life and managing my money are so closely linked that you can't deal with either one in isolation. Like one indicates the other. So here's our ultimate goal. We want to work and spend and give and save and live to the glory of God. That's our aim in life, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 10 says this, whatever you do, whatever in life, do it all for what? For the glory of God. Do it all for the glory of God. And when we honor him, have you noticed something? Life just seems to work better when you do it God's way. We live according to his plan, and we find that, man, what God does for his ways are good. He's made us, and he sets the guardrails for living. He gives us direction, And ultimately, this world is the story that God is writing. And so we want to align ourselves with his story and to say, God, what you're doing in the world today, I want to be a part of it. I want to do it your way. And so here's what success looks like. Hearing this. Affirmation from Jesus when he returns that he makes this statement in Matthew chapter 25. It says this, the master was full of praise. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount. So now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's do what? Let's celebrate together, right? We might even sing that song, celebrate good time. Forget that. Wouldn't it be great to hear that from Jesus, these words? You see him face to face in person and he says, way to go, you've been faithful. Let's celebrate. That's what I want for you. That's the aim of this series. We're gonna be looking at big picture themes in our first 3 weeks. The final Sunday is going to be an Ask Anything where you'll be able to submit questions and well, that'll be September 15th. You're also going to hear about a 6-week course that has helped a ton of people and on practical aspects of financial management from a biblical perspective. And we wanna make this course a gift for you. More on that in a little bit in today's message, and we're gonna have a book available as well. But for starters, to look at theme number one, let's look at 1 Chronicles chapter 29. 1 Chronicles 29, hopefully you got some notes on your way in today. Those of you engaging online, welcome to you. To our friends at Olmsted Falls, Lorain Correctional. You might not be aware, we have 3 campuses, one on Columbia Road, also on Pearl, and then an Avon Belden in Grafton. And so glad to have all of you with us today. Also, we have an app that has some notes on the message and some follow-up resources on that. Let me just come back to 1 Chronicles 29. If you're not familiar with the Bible and how it's all organized, maybe you're wondering where 1 Chronicles fits in. If you guys want to go back to that chart right there, thanks. You'll see how the Old New Testament are divided. The Old Testament is 39 books. New Testament on the right there is 27 books. Together, those 66 books form the Bible. The Old Testament is the history of God's people and the need for humanity and really our whole world to be rescued. And so it all points forward to Jesus, which is what the New Testament is about. It details that rescue, how Jesus, God the Son, came into our broken world. He loves us that much, and he paid the price for all of the wrong that we've done and invites us to follow him. It's the best gift ever, not only for this life, but for the life to come. And so that's where you see Chronicles fits in. It's there in the history section of the Old Testament. All right, 1 Chronicles 29, it's the last chapter of the book. Here's the context. This is real history. David is Israel's very successful king. He's at the end of his reign, and he's getting ready to pass the baton to his son Solomon. And before he does, he wants to make sure that the people stay close to the Lord. That's David's biggest desire, and that they put the Lord first in all that they do. And part of that is having a place to worship and meet with God. In those days, you did that at a building, the temple. So in the first several verses of 1 Chronicles chapter 29, you see that David gives a massive amount of treasure, money, to help build the temple. And he invites other people to do the same. And it's this amazing day of generosity, a huge success. And it leads David to pray this compelling prayer that really significant, starting in verse 10. We learn a lot about David's relationship with money. And he gives us an example for how we can do the same. How can you honor God and have a healthy relationship with money? Let's start in verse 10 here, 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Then David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly. O Lord, the God of our ancestor Israel, may you be praised forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. Everything in the heavens and on earth is yours, O Lord, and this is your kingdom. We adore you as the one who is over all things. Wealth and honor come from you alone, for you rule over everything. Power and might are in your hand, and at your discretion, people are made great and given strength. Oh, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I? And who are my people that we could give anything to you? Everything we have has come from you, and we give you only what you first gave us. We are here only for a moment, visitors and strangers in the land, as our ancestors were before us. Our days on earth are like a passing shadow, gone so soon without a trace. O Lord our God, even this material we have gathered to build a temple to honor your holy name comes from you. It all belongs to you. I know, my God, that you examine our hearts and rejoice when you find integrity there. You know I have done all this with good motives, and I have watched your people offer their gifts willingly and joyously. O Lord, the God of our ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, make your people always want to obey you. See to it that their love for you, what? Never changes. There's the secret right there, that our love for the Lord will never waver, that he'll always be first. There's going to be this growing relationship with Jesus right at the center of our lives. Now, I want to highlight one big truth from David's prayer, sort of the theme for today, that you'll see all the way through this scripture, a truth that really is probably the most important foundational building block in our relationship with money. It is taken from a powerful phrase in verse 14, and here's what it says, middle of that verse, everything we have has come where? From you. Everything we have has come, Lord, from you. If you can get that, you have a huge head start in your financial management, because at the very heart of what David is saying in his prayer is this. The big point is, would you say this aloud together? Let's say it together. Ready? God owns it all. I'm managing his resources. If we get that, I mean really get that, it changes everything. God owns it all. I'm managing his resources. Well, let's dig into what David says here. You'll see this in your notes. First, when I recognize God's ownership, I acknowledge that everything ultimately belongs to him. David repeats this like several times in this prayer, like in verse 11. He says, everything in the heavens and on earth is yours, O Lord, and this is your kingdom. Think about that. Everything in the universe, like he says in the heavens, everything on earth, all belongs to whom? All belongs to the Lord. David says, even this nation, he goes, of which I'm the king, even this kingdom belongs to you. God owns it all. Now, whether you accept it or not, depends on your worldview, what you think about God. Someone might say, I'm not really sure I buy this. I just don't know. Maybe that's where you are today. You go, I don't really know if I would really acknowledge that God owns everything in the world, everything in my life, everything. Maybe we think about it this way. I just pose this as a, what is God's role in creation? Suppose that God is the author, the cause behind everything that we see in the universe and our world, all of nature, he's behind it all. Wouldn't it make sense that he's the creator of everything that we would say it all belongs to him? He made it. If you're an artist and you create a piece of art, it belongs to whom? It belongs to you, unless you entrust it to somebody else. If you're an inventor, you come up with an invention. That invention belongs to you. So if you believe that the Lord is the ultimate creator, then you can say like David, Lord, it all belongs to you. It's what he says here in this prayer. It's just he over and over, God, we're only giving back to you what you have given to us. You own it all. That's a theme all the way through the scripture. Let me just point out a couple of verses. Back in the, you know, when we talked about the beginning, the first five books of the Bible, the Torah, the books of Moses, we read this. Moses declares the highest heavens and the earth and everything in it all belong to the Lord your God. That was the worldview of Israel's leader at the time, Moses. God himself believes that. He speaks to Job and he says this in Job 41, "Who has a claim against me that I must pay? Everything under heaven belongs to me." You see a theme here? Everything. I mean, it's just a word, everything. David affirms that in Psalm 24, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it." And again in Psalm 50, "For every animal of the forest is mine and the cattle on a thousand hills." My family had a song we used to sing in the car all the time. Maybe you know a song. In fact, I'd like to sing it right now for you. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Anybody ever heard of that? If one of my siblings is watching, you're probably singing it right now. God owns it all, everything. Friends, you won't find one verse in the Bible that suggests that God has somehow surrendered ownership to us. If we're tempted to think, well, maybe he owns everything, but and everything I have ultimately belongs to God, but at least I own myself. Even then, we're told in the scriptures, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, "You are not your own. You were bought at a price." So we can say it again, God owns it all. I'm simply managing his resources. So how does that relate to my relationship with money like this? How you handle money and everything else that you have in life, including your own body, reveals who you really believe is the true owner. Is it God or is it you? It's the most important principle in financial management is who owns what we have. Second principle we see in David's prayer here is highlighted in verse 9, and he says this, "The people rejoiced over the offerings, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord, and King David was filled with joy." It's like an overflow. It's what you do when you love someone, you want to show it, right? You can't help but give. They were so grateful to the Lord, so moved by his kindness that there's no reluctance. So we could say it this way, every act of generosity can be a joyful act of worship. When you really get God's greatness, I mean, his awesome power, his unlimited grace, his incredible love for you, the fact that he would adopt you in his family, that he's redeemed us, or at least provided a way for us to receive that, then you want to bless him, right? You're like, God, you've done so much for me. And that's what you see here with the people. They wanted to give. So in verse 11, you drop down there, they say, "We adore you as the one who is over all things." Verse 13, more praise. "Oh, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name." Do you hear the overflow of praise? They're like, "God, we thank you. We praise you. We adore you. There's no one like you. We get to be part of your family. Lord, we love you." And so they give back freely to God. It's an overflow of their praise. When you understand who God is and all that he's done for you and the impact of his grace and kindness in your life, every act of generosity becomes this joyful act of just going, "God, we love you. We thank you for what you've done." Here's another way David sets an example for us. We can affirm if God owns it all, then I affirm that whatever I have has come from him, right? He says this in verse 14, "Everything we have has come from you." Think about that. Here's David, this highly successful and very wealthy leader, and he declares it's all from God. What does that mean for me today? If I take David's posture, that means that everything I have, my body, my 401k, my home, everything, my checking account, my life, God owns it all. I'm serving as his manager. Now, if that's true, if I really believe that God is the owner of all that's been entrusted to me, then doesn't it just make sense that we would consult with him regularly on financial decisions? That we'd go, "God, I'm have this potential of a career move. Lord, we need a new car, the house. What do you want us to do with in every aspect, your assets?" You just go, "Lord, it all belongs to you, and so I'm seeking you for your wisdom." You do that because you don't make changes without consulting the owner. Let me give an illustration. Mary and I are going to be out of town with family over Labor Day, and we'll see our two little grandkids. I should have put a picture of Teddy and Ellie on the screen. Dearly loved grandkids. And we have friends who are coming to Cleveland at the very same time, and so they were looking for a place to stay. And so we said, hey, we're not even going to be home. Why don't you stay at our place? Now imagine we come home after they spend those days in our home, and we're shocked to see some major changes. We come home, and they're like, hey, you know what? We really wanted to see the sunrise in your backyard, so we cut down all of your trees. Just couldn't see the sun, and that gazebo you guys built, we didn't really see much purpose for that, and so we used all that wood in the fire pit, and it was a huge fire. It was awesome. And that car in your garage, you didn't drive it the whole week. We sold it. Our son's going off to college, and so, you know, tuition, we just thought that would be great. And the credit card we found on the drawer, I don't know if you guys can take us to the airport, but we're heading out to Hawaii tomorrow. Wes and Corey, if you're watching this, just don't, no ideas here, right? Right? Seriously, when you know that you don't own something, you only manage it, it affects how you treat it, right? You just don't go making all kinds of changes. You're responsible to the owner. So let's just make this personal. If we really believe this, that God owns it all, and I'm simply managing his resources, that's a game changer, right? If what David says here is true, that God, everything we have comes from you, that means that I answer to him, right? I'm just a manager of what God has entrusted to me. And I'm grateful I get to use his things, and it says he gives us all things richly to enjoy. Like it's not that you can't appreciate what he's entrusted to you, you do. But when you know that you're not the owner, you're the manager, then you go, God, I want to seek you for input, right? I'm not looking at my checkbook and my money, figuring how I'm going to spend what belongs to me. I'm saying, God, I'm looking at what belongs to you, and so I want to know what's the way that you would most like to manage me to manage your assets. Friends, that's not a burden. That's an adventure. That every day, every week, we get to be on mission with Jesus saying, Lord, how do you want me to, you know, invest your money so it can have the greatest impact for my family and our future and for your purposes in the world today? Money management starts right there. Who owns it? Got to figure that out. Who do you believe owns the resources that have your name on it? Friends, when we can consult the God of the universe, I mean, he's just so wise. Don't you imagine that he's honored when we come to him and say, Lord, it's time to buy, you know, another vehicle. Would you give wisdom? I mean, ultimately, he's in the control tower. He sees it all, right? At Proverbs chapter 3, so many of us have said that it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, do what? Acknowledge him, and he'll make your path straight, or he'll direct your path. Like, he wants to give you wisdom so you can look back and say, man, I invested way better. Like, that was God. Or I didn't know that this home would be the just the right spot for us. Friends, here's what we know from the Bible. One day, we're going to have a performance review, and we're going to be rewarded based on our management, whether it's been effective or ineffective. I think David implies this in verse 15 here. He recognizes how brief his life is, how quickly it will all be gone, and he says this in verse 15. He says, we're here for only a moment, visitors and strangers in the land as our ancestors were before us. Our days on earth are like what? Passing shadow. Some of you who are, you know, you have a few years behind you, you go, it's true. They go by quickly. Gone so soon without a trace. Friends, in light of eternity, compared to where we're going to be forever, we're here for just a moment, right? I mean, it's so brief, David says. And we know we're going to give an account one day for how we've managed what belongs ultimately to him. And so here's the verse at the top of your notes, 1 Corinthians 4. A person who has been put in charge as a manager must what? Be faithful. Must be faithful. I think when we talk about this, whenever we look into God's word and we hold it up, it says in James, we hold it up as a mirror, we can go, man, I haven't really considered this, that God owns it all. I'm just a manager. I've treated my stuff like it's all mine. It's sort of a new concept to me. And or maybe you're in a place where you go, I guess I knew I'd answer to God, but I'm embarrassed by how much debt I'm in right now. If that's you, you're not alone. Maybe you've gone through bankruptcy, you've made a financial mess, and you might be wondering, where do I go from here? Like my finance, even to be here, like I just feel guilty. Can I just say to you today, don't despair. Like there's hope. So many people in the Grace family have been in a place of just going, my finances are a wreck, and then they begin to just sort of say, God, you can give wisdom, you can get me out of this mess, and they've gotten back on track, and we want to help you do that. We don't want to just look at big themes of Scripture. We want to say, what does it look like on a granular level to see biblical principles at work in my life? So whether you're in a really tough spot with your finances, or you say, I think I'm doing great financially, we want you to keep on growing. So I mentioned earlier a six-week series that we're making available to the Grace family. It's called True Financial Freedom. It's by Bob and Linda Loddick. You see their picture up there. And Bob and Linda have a great story in their own personal journey. They didn't start off like as trust fund, you know, babies or something like that. They had a lot of challenges. And in the six-week class, they walk you through the same blueprint that God used to lead them from a mountain of debt to a life of eternal impact. And so each session has all these specific and practical action steps, real life stories. And I really believe by the end of the class, you'll start to see more what is really important in life and margin financially to say, God, I'm breathing easily, living out your God-given purpose and full potential in the world without the stress of money pressures holding you back. So you can do the six-part class online, or you'll see it in your notes today, how you can sign up for that, sending an email to Pastor Steve. Or you can do the in-person class, which starts on Wednesday, September 11th at our Middleburg campus. And in that class, you'll learn how to create a money system that gets better results, how to develop a one-category budget, very creative idea that I hadn't heard of before until I read the book, how to invite God into your debt reduction and generosity and earn significantly more without even needing to get a side hustle. And again, because Grace purchased a one-year subscription, anyone attending Grace can take the class for free. Bob and Linda also came out with a book called Simple Money, Rich Life, Achieve True Financial Freedom and Design a Life of Eternal Impact. Read the book, very practical book. Some of it you'll find is really affirming. You'll go, I think I'm doing that right. This is available at each of our campuses for $10. And you can pick one up today. And then in the notes today, I put a list of financial planners from Grace, people who attend Grace. I think there are 8 of them. If we missed your name, I'm sorry. We put it out and tried to find everyone we could, but just let us know and we'll add your name to the list. But that might be helpful for you as well. Let me say this. It's not too late to make changes in your financial life. If you're going, I don't even like to think about this, it just stresses me out, don't let discouragement win the day. Don't let that happen. You can make positive changes. Most of all, you're going to be honoring the owner who's entrusted whatever you have to you, and you can wisely use what he's given to you. Everything that we have are really this, assets under management. Right? That's what we have. You and I have assets that are under management. They belong to him. I'm simply managing his resources. That's the declaration in David's prayer here in 1 Chronicles 29. And friends, we're going to be rewarded for how we manage what he's entrusted us. The great news is this, his grace covers all of our mess ups and his wisdom can help us to get it right for the future. You're not alone in the battle. We're going to be talking more about what this means in the coming weeks. I hope you'll be with us on the journey. But this is the starting point. God owns it all. God owns it all. This past Wednesday, I visited someone here at Grace who owns a few businesses, and we had gotten together, and I'm always curious to see how do things work, and so we get a little tour, Steve Harper and I did. And at the very end of the tour, we're getting ready to leave for the day, and he turns to us, the owner, and he says, I just want to say my perspective. God owns my business, and I'm really just the manager of what belongs to him. It was such a great line. I thought, he gets it. He gets it. Many of you are living like that. You're going, that's the way I see it. Friends, you're honoring the Lord, and even if you go, I don't quite know what to do here or there, if you consult him, he'll give you the wisdom, or he'll guide you. He'll get you back on track. To the extent that one day, I want to go back to the verse that we read at the beginning, one day when we see Jesus face to face, I can't wait for this day. If you say, Lord, it all belongs to you, I'm simply your manager, he's going to call you over and he's going to say like you did in Matthew, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling this small amount. So now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. Can you imagine that? What a day that's going to be. It's our goal in this series. We want to get it right. God owns it all, and I'm simply his manager. Friends, when you get that part right, you're on the track for financial success, because financial success in the first place is saying, Lord, I want to honor you for all that you've entrusted to me. Can we just start right now and just acknowledge that with him? Let's pray together, and I'm gonna lead us in a prayer and just ask him to have his way and acknowledge that all we have belongs to him. Jesus, we know that someday we're going to stand before you, a performance review, and we just ask right now, would you help us to be ready for that day. Lord, where we're messing up, we ask your forgiveness. We want to get it right. To see you as the rightful owner of everything and to live and to prioritize in a way that you'll see us as faithful managers. So Lord, help us by your Spirit to do that. We're grateful for your patience and grace, and we look forward to the adventure ahead as we walk with you. Thank you for being our King, our God. We belong to you, Lord, and we want to honor you in every way. Make it happen in our lives, we pray, by your Holy Spirit living within us. We pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. He's so good, faithful. Let's stand together as the team leads us and make this song our declaration.